The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. Mark, chapter 9, beginning with verse 2, and we'll read through verse 9. And 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and brought them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his garments became radiant and exceedingly white, as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to answer, for they had become terrified. Then a cloud formed, overshadowing them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And all at once they looked around and saw no one with them anymore except Jesus only. And as they were coming down from the mountain, he gave them orders not to relate to anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man should rise from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Peter, James, and John, according to all gospel accounts, were immediately willing to respond to their charge. Without hesitation, they left their boats and fishing nets to follow Jesus. That seems like an incredible act of faith. I mean, walking away from established and successful vocations. And for what? But it was a compelling and irresistible call. All indications are that they adjusted pretty well to life on the road with Jesus. They maintained a proximity to Jesus that has led them to be described as Jesus' inner circle. They alone were invited into the room as Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. They alone were invited to go the distance with Jesus in the garden as he prayed before the crucifixion. As Jesus headed up the mountain, he invited them to go along. Why? Maybe because they seemed to have been born ready to go with Jesus wherever he led. Maybe Jesus knew they were going to need it. Maybe he knew that this experience held something that could change them from being followers into being the leaders they would soon become. Jesus' crucifixion was rapidly approaching at this point. Gone would be the days of Peter, James, and John having a front row seat among the multitudes who listened to Jesus as he taught. No longer would following Jesus mean tending tables as Jesus broke bread and fish to feed the multitude. No longer would following Jesus mean standing behind him when facing opposition. Soon, Peter would be asked to demonstrate his love for Christ by feeding Jesus' sheep. Come the day of Pentecost, Peter would be preaching to the multitudes himself. Soon, all three of them would face opposition, leading to martyrdom and exile. They needed to be changed from followers of Jesus to the leaders of his church. Could the transfiguration have been a threshold of their transformation? What did the transfiguration offer to the disciples? What was it that they discovered there? Had the miraculous power of Jesus perhaps become commonplace to them? Had they listened to his daily live streams for so long that his teaching and words had become white noise? The whole mountaintop encounter seems to be an awakening for the disciples. After walking with Jesus, hearing him teach, seeing him perform miracles, finally they begin to see him. Really see him. They saw with fresh eyes what had been with them the whole time. How could they have missed the shining glory of God that had dwelled in Christ all along? How is the essence of Moses and Elijah not fully seen in his teaching? after all this time with Jesus? Did they need to hear the voice from heaven telling them who He really was and how important it was to listen, remember, and trust what He had taught them? They were beginning to see a new intensity of the glory that had been present with them all the days that they had been so filled with wonder that it somehow had become ordinary to them. The way they had looked at things needed to change. They needed to be changed. And that was beginning to happen as they stepped across the threshold of the Transfiguration. It was a time and place, stepping across it, that they began to see with unveiled faces the glory of the Lord, and they themselves are being transformed. What thresholds have you stepped across that have blown the doors of your perception wide open, letting the full light of God's glory fall over your life? Thresholds that have become turning points, changing your perspective of the world and your place in it. Thresholds that have taken you from where you were to where you needed to go. Thresholds can be rather scary places. At the very least, they can leave us unsure as to what to do next. Ask Simon Peter, whose only idea was to build booths and maybe just hang out there, whether it is an expected development of a life stage, an unexpected disruption of all that had been familiar, or even a promising new adventure, there is bound to be some kind of deliberation that keeps us from decisively crossing thresholds when we come to them. There is often not enough clarity. On the other hand, maybe there's too much clarity. We know full well the challenges and the demands that lie ahead. No wonder we are prone to stand hesitantly at the threshold, scarce knowing if we wish to go or stay, being too full of sleep to understand how far the unknown transcends what we know, as Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote. Maybe that's why we're called human beings rather than human becomings. It's our nature to want things to remain the same, especially ourselves. Yet, Ellen Bass observes, there is a part of every living thing that wants to become itself, the tadpole into the frog, the chrysalis into a butterfly, a damaged human being into a whole one. That is spirituality. So it is, the very things we wish to avoid, neglect, and flee from turn out to be the prima materia from which all real growth comes. Transitions are the magic portholes that free us from the constraints of who we have been to enter fully into the joy of awakening to who we shall become. I'm not sure which it is. Do we see a reflection of ourselves in the disciples, or are we projecting our stuff onto them? Either way, the similarities, implications, and possibilities of the Transfiguration are not confined to the disciples nor to that mountaintop encounter with Jesus. Epiphany moments, when God's glory is being disclosed to us, can be found anywhere, and in our finding them, they have the potential of becoming thresholds of our own spiritual transformation if we but dare step across them. The message of the Transfiguration is that the next chapter of Epiphany's story is the point is not merely awakening to the power and presence of God's glory. Transfiguration points to the potential of our own transformation. That's what Peter could not see even after the light of the Transfiguration blazed on the mountaintop. He could see now with all clarity the brightness of the glory of Christ. He recognized the presence of Moses and Elijah. He was awakened to the power and spirit filling the moment in which he stood. Isn't that what Epiphany is all about? Awakening to the power of God's presence and basking in that glory of the moment, doing all you can to mark it and remember it. Well, Epiphany begins with awakening to the presence of God more fully, but the Transfiguration tells us that it doesn't end there. The whole point of Transfiguration is to remind us that the presence of God, which has been blazing so brightly through Epiphany moments, is supposed to change us. Now, there's still more, a lot more. Crossing the threshold and seeing the fuller glory of God will surely be transformational, but it's not just intended to transform you. In the moment you step across the threshold, realizing you are standing in the presence of God's glory, it transforms you, but it is also in order that you may become transformational. Here's another thing about awakening to the power of God's presence and message in the Transfiguration. There are countless thresholds. We are to be continually looking deeply into the experiences of everyday life, sensing God's presence and message in each of those moments, allowing them to transform us, and then stepping across each and every threshold to become more transformational in the world. These threshold moments can be anywhere that we become aware of God's presence and allow those experiences to change us. Places of beauty and glory, places of worship, places of connection and places of isolation, places of sorrow and sadness, places of struggle and challenge. All the places where awakening to God's presence with us emboldens us and transforms us to take our place in God's new tomorrow. These are threshold moments, not shrines in which to dwell, but doorways through which to step. These are the questions raised by the Transfiguration. Are we ready to embrace a new future? Are we ready to cross a threshold from who we have been and move forward toward who we are to become? Are we ready to move forward into a place that is not just inhabiting a space or intent on constructing places that define and limit the presence of God? Are we ready to cross the threshold from standing in Epiphany's shining glory of God's presence and embark on a Lenten journey that is focused on nurturing that same glory in our own lives as we head toward the cross? Debbie Thomas writes, "I don't know what thresholds we've approached. I don't know how God might invite us to change, to grow, to cross over. And I don't know what losses and sorrows those crossings will include. But this much is true about the life of faith. We can trust the one who invites us to cross over. We can trust that new life, which explodes our imagination, awaits us on the other side." Amen.